Welcome to Merrickville.
Oh, it's Friday, Sydney, and we've made it. We've made it to Friday. Crack open your stubbies, have a little swig and settle in. Unless, of course, you're driving. Don't do it whilst you're driving. Wait till you get home. Settle in for a great show. I'll be joined this afternoon by James Matheson, who'll be dropping by. We'll also have a preview of all of the footies for this weekend. All of the footies.
James Matheson currently enjoying the wonders of Sydney traffic.
Yeah, he's stuck in it. Seriously, what sort of bloke gets... Like, as if he didn't know that there was going to be traffic in Sydney on a Friday.
I'll tell you what sort of bloke gets stuck in Sydney traffic. Russell Crowe.
Oh, it's Tom Cruise. Russell's different. Russell Crowe is a traffic stopper. It's different. Russell just leans out the window. Everybody slow down. Okay, Russ, gotcha. Absolutely. We'll be doing Battle of the Burbs today. And we'll also be talking about a brand new band. I've never heard of them. South Korea's biggest boy band are in Sydney playing at Kudos Bank Arena tonight. They're called Gangbang. Of Bangtan. Bangtan Boys. I'll get the name right. Joined by James Matheson. Good to have you back, Matho.
Nice to be here, as always. I love that I get to come in on a Friday. It feels a bit looser.
Mate, I know. It's the loosest show in radio, and then it kind of unravels a bit on a Friday. It's practically on the floor. We'll try to behave as much as we can. You've brought in your two beautiful daughters today, Matho.
Yeah, I've thrown them in front of the iPad. We're a little bit understaffed, undermanned at home. So thought, man, one of them's four and one of them's two. And I actually thought, man, if I put the TV on and leave the house, is that pretty hugely irresponsible parenting?
No, that's child abuse.
Right.
Let's be clear
about
it.
It's not like, have you ever left your kids in the car where you fill up at the server, then run in and paid?
I feel like this is entrapment.
You just said I was child abusing. Yeah, no,
James, if you're a police officer, you have to disclose this to Merrick at the moment.
I don't know.
This isn't a sting, mate.
No. I just feel like if I say yes, then somebody will ring up and go, it's bloody illegal, mate. What are you, an asshole? What do you let your dogs die in cars as well? I go, no, it's not exactly the same at all.
You've done it, though.
What? Yeah, you've done the dash in the
Let your
server.
Dog die in a car.
Oh, no. It was a cat.
Matthew, you've left your daughters in capable hands, though. Producer Leon is out there, and he's just gone and got them a drink each, and he's got Breaking Bad on the TV screen for them.
Right now, they're going,
is
look,
that scotch and soda?
Cook your own meth.
I'm obviously not a parent, so I wasn't sure if I could give them glasses, so I had to get plastic cups. Is that all right?
Yeah, do whatever you want, mate. I'm working.
What are you worried about?
What did I tell you before I came in here? I'm working now. This is work time.
This is work time. The other thing too is, mate, these kids aren't going to glass each other. They're not even drunk. Well, one of them looks a bit drunk, but the other one looks pretty sober.
If you've never been to a radio studio, basically you're in a glass box and you can see what's happening outside. So they can see what's happening, while I'm at work. I just wish I had one of these at home, a soundproof glass room where I could see what they were doing, but they couldn't contact me and I could never hear them.
No, you know what you want? You want that two-way glass, right, where you can look out and see them, but they can't see you.
Like a police line.
Oh, so good. So good. Those rooms are amazing. Anyway, speaking of kids, Matthew, this is an interesting thing. It's been a pretty horrific week for news. You know, the bombing in Manchester at the Ariana Grande concert was just full on. And, some of the bulletins and the news that we're seeing, it just feels like every week is depressing news week. Every week is shocking. But particularly, you know, with some of the audio and the visuals that we've had this week from Manchester. So we'll start a revolution. That's people singing after the minute silence at Manchester. One person kicks it off. Goosebumps. Full on week, Matho. Mm. Here's the thing, right? And I wanted to ask you this because you're a dad. You've got your kids here. I don't let my kids watch the news.
Oh, no way. No way.
No news. Mm. I won't have news on around my kids. And that just seems insane.
That you don't?
Yeah, no. When I was a kid, the news was just something that was on in the house. Now, I deliberately make sure that my kids are not seeing the news because it's always so bloody grim. Mm.
But wasn't the news grim when you were growing up? Wasn't it people dying in car crashes, someone caught in a house fire, you know?
Not as graphic as it is now. Right. You know, like now you can turn on, my kids turn on, you can see like little bits of, person that's been blown up, nail bombs. It just seems like it's... Now, here's the interesting thing, right? I've got friends who have banned sugar, right? Or banned soft drinks in their house, but they haven't banned the news. Which would you be more likely to ban in your house first?
Oh, that's... We have very little sugar, but I knew you'd be like that.
Well, look at them. I mean, look at them. They're just not even moving. Actually, is that one asleep? No.
I think I would ban the news first. I really would. Like, whenever I'm in the car in the morning, there's always a story that comes on when I'm listening. Four people have been killed in a tragic accident, and my four-year-old's always like, Who got killed? What happened?
Yeah.
And they won't drop it. You don't go, don't worry, darling. Yeah. They're like, no. Who got killed? Why did he kill them? I'm like, they were annoying. I don't know. I mean, what do you tell kids? And your kids are a little bit older, but it's still too early. You don't want them to grow up so fast. That's exactly it.
I want my kids to still stay in that little bubble of youth where they can enjoy the world for that kind of peaceful utopia that we like them to think it is, without bursting that bubble and seeing the horrific events that are going on around them. Like, it's a terrifying time. And I have been criticised by people saying, no, your kids need to be exposed to this sort of stuff. And I go,
They've got the rest of their life to be exposed to that. They don't have to be exposed to it when they're seven and five.
I say to them, don't worry, I'm making them unhappy on other levels. I don't need to, don't worry. They're being tortured internally and emotionally on so many different levels. They don't need that as well. But I grew up with a kid, right? His name was Richard. And, you know, this is in the 80s. And his parents had banned television, full stop. No television at all. So we would literally go and have a game of monkey magic. You know, like you'd have the kids around and the fat one would have to play Pigsy. No, it wasn't me! And one is, you know, be playing monkey and whatever. And he didn't know what the game was and he was playing, but he had no idea that it was based on a television show.
Oh,
so we just beat the shit out because he had no clue what to do.
You told him that was part of the program.
Yeah, this is the bit where Monkey has his foot down Tripitaka's throat.
Yeah, you're Tripitaka.
And you love it.
Yeah, exactly. But did you have anything banned from your childhood? What was, you know, was denied?
I mean, we were allowed to watch half an hour of TV, I reckon.
A day?
No, that one. But
it's restricted, but not denied, though.
No.
We were denied Coke. We weren't allowed to have Coke in my
meth?
House.
Meth? No meth?
No.
So, yeah, I mean, it evens out.
Yeah.
I tried to have no TV for the kids, but it gets to a point where they just break you.
Well, you just
a shattered shell of yourself, and you're like, all right, I don't care anymore.
But if your kids can't watch television, I mean, who's going to do the parenting? You? I mean, seriously?
I know. It is horrible.
That's going to interfere with the drinking time. No, I'm only kidding. Well, phones have already lit up. I'm not entirely sure what for, but I want to ask this question. What are you denying your kids, or even if you were a kid, what were you denied, right? Because I'm denying my children the ability to be informed on world events. I'm denying them that. I give my kids pretty much, you know, everything within reason.
We were in no gun house. No guns.
We didn't have that rule at my house.
Didn't you?
No, we had let's have some guns policy.
Mm.
We had some guns policy.
Yeah,
shoot your guns. I was 8 or 9 when I got my first gun.
Yeah,
that wasn't a problem.
Made to have a gun.
Yeah, have a gun.
What's wrong with
you? What are you going to carry to school? Books? 133353. What were you denied as a child, or what are you denying your kids now? Give us a call. What were you denied as a kid? I'm denying my children, not television, but the access to the news. It's too grim. It's too dark. But I also had a kid. I just remembered I went to school with a kid whose mum denied him any kind of like sports labels like Nike or Adidas, like any cool stuff, until he was 16 because he wouldn't appreciate it enough. So he used to have to wear like, you know, Dunlop and, you know, Footloose and all these kind of
Footloose?
Yeah, there was a brand that was like Footloose or Foot something. And it was,
Wasn't like
KT26. Stuff like that. Until he was 16 before he was allowed to have Nike.
And then did he turn up head to toe in Adidas?
Just decked out. Just overcompensated.
This is what happens, you know. You deny them, and then
that's it. My kids could end up journalists. Jesus,
heaven.
No, I want them to have a career with longevity. Let's get to Scruffy in Springfield. Hello, Scruffy.
How you going, Eric?
Very good indeed, mate. What were you denied as a kid?
Lemon butter.
What?
Yeah.
What were you doing with a lemon butter, you sicko?
Oh, you're joking, man. It was the best on fresh bread that you got out of the meter box, mate, that you cut up. Fresh bread with lemon butter all over it.
Yeah.
Unreal.
I was just suggesting that maybe you were spreading it on yourself and not the toast, Scruffy.
No. It was no toast. It was fresh bread.
Yum. I know what you mean. That's pretty old school, that stuff, isn't it? Do you remember that, Matho?
Yeah, I do vaguely. Yeah. I mean, mate, and when you hit adulthood, did you just go nuts? Did you go on lemon butter benders, mate?
Nah, well, that's what happened. It was about 7 or 8, and the oldies took me to the doctor's, and the doctor said, lemon butter's doing it to him. He's too active. So I said, all right, I won't have it. But once I got my adulthood, still had it, still hyperactive. So 49, mate, still hyperactive.
Are you still eating lemon butter?
Yeah.
There's your problem, Scruff.
Lemon butter, the old meth. So that is. Thanks, Scruffy. Got Adrian in Richmond. Hello, mate.
When I get this bloody lemon butter from, I piss myself laughing for the last fella. Anyway, I won't let my child have any cake for coffee. I mean, she's only young anyway because they're hypo as it is. And because they're not missing out on much. I mean, we're all adults know, you know, coffee and cake, we're not, you don't really need it. But when I have a bit of leftover cake from Macca's and I give her a bit of sip of the ice leftover, mate, she doesn't want it now. So I'm doing
really?
Something good. Yeah,
that's because you're leaving her all the gungy bits at the bottom, mate. There's the
nah,
ice.
She'd rather water or orange juice, mate.
Wow.
Rather than backwash. Yeah, no. That's a surprise.
Real shock, mate.
That's good, Adrian. Well, that's she's obviously in a good habit then if she doesn't want Coke. I'd love it if my kids didn't want to drink soft drinks, but particularly my boy, he doesn't really like soft drinks that much. He doesn't really dig sugar. He doesn't eat cake or lollies that much or anything like that. But a little sniff of Coke, oh, I love it. And when I say sniff of Coke, I mean Coca-Cola.
That didn't really come
sorry.
Out right.
Let me rephrase this. Yeah. My son does not live in the eastern suburbs.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. Hello, Jay.
How you going?
Very good, mate. All right. Were you denied something as a kid, or are you denying your kid something?
No, man. What we were denied, the only thing we were denied to watch on television was number 96.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? We grew up with the Vietnam War, and we watched it on the news every night. Okay?
Yeah, but
we watched it.
But
we seen it. And I've got two boys, and I've let my boys watch everything that goes on in this world now. You know why? Because it makes them better people and it shows them. I can't hide what this world is about.
Yeah, good point.
Okay?
Yeah.
You cannot hide what this world is about, man.
Well, the Amish have done a pretty good job. I mean, you know, they don't even let them have cars.
There's no need to look what?
Okay.
The Amish, mate.
That
what are
is,
you doing?
That, I don't know what Jay's done.
That's the same sound that happens in Star Trek when you get teleported.
Yes.
He's gone.
He's
gone to another dimension.
It's like a spaceship just came over and just gone, Jay's talking.
I understand that like you eventually have to tell them what the world is like, but not at 7 or 8 or 9. You know, you got to slowly just ease them in to the horror and the just daily depressing grind that is humanity. So
everyone enjoy their weekend.
Matthew, have you heard of a guy called Laird Hamilton? He's a big wave surfer. He's possibly one of the most iconic big wave surfers in the world. Are you familiar with this bloke?
Can't say I have.
Used to be married to Lane Beachley.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, yeah, I know the guy. He's sort of blonde hair, tanned.
Yeah, like a surfer. Looks like a surfer. Good description
muscular,
there, Matthew.
Muscular, is that him?
I mean, he's pretty easy to pick out in a lineup of surfers. He's been talking about the shark attacks, the recent shark attacks in
one of James's daughters has just come wandering into the studio.
Talk to her. She's in the door, mate.
Yeah, I'm just waving her away.
Oh, don't know. She's crying.
No,
mate.
She's not crying at
she
all.
She is. She's crying.
Well, that's your fault because you
fault?
Made her feel self conscious. I was just quietly
no,
just
it's,
ushering
it's,
her
it's
away.
It's Laird Hamilton's fault for what he said today.
Okay, so let's get
focus, mate. Like, stay professional. Is
mate,
that too much
care.
To ask?
I don't care if kids walk in during
like,
the show.
A little bit this, professional.
This is not this sort of show where we worry about professional standards. We worry about being real.
So
if
there's this
in the studio,
guy
in the studio,
who
right.
looks like he's muscular and blonde and tanned.
Yeah, he's a surfer, right?
Right.
Laird Hamilton. He said that there's been quite an increase in shark attacks in California.
Mm.
And his reasoning is, and wait for it, is that it's because too many women are entering the water whilst on their periods.
Mm.
He said the biggest, most common reason to be bitten is a woman with her period.
Yeah.
Quote. And he said that's... He's suggesting
makes sense, that doesn't it?
The reason why there's more shark attacks, it's the increase in shark attacks, is because women are on their period and then choosing to entice the sharks, which reminds me of that scene from Anchorman.
I read somewhere that their periods attract bears. The bears can smell the menstruation.
Well, that's just great. You hear that, Ed? Bears. Now you're putting the whole station in jeopardy.
Exactly. He's literally said that. It's the most insane thing in the world.
He's being serious, though.
He's 100% not joking. He said the reason why there's more shark attacks is because menstruating women are entering the water.
I haven't seen the graph on this. Is there a correlation? The more women are in the water, the more shark attacks occur? Is that what has Laird done some science?
Well, I don't know if he's done any research. We've done some on behalf of Laird, and this is a report from the 2015, so quite recent. A report found that since 1941, there have been 1,132 recorded shark attacks in Australia, of which only 64 involved women.
Mm. Yeah, but how many of those men were attacked when they were surfing with a woman?
Good point. How many of those men were menstruating whilst they were out there?
And for those people who might not quite understand the comparison, he has said a woman going surfing when she's on her period would be like walking through a storm with a lightning rod in their hand.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't be like that at all. It'd be like, you know, it's not like women enter the water and there's just all of a sudden a puff of red around them.
When I go,
it's just not the way it works, Len.
When I go big game fishing, instead of taking out some, you know, whiting or
burley,
no, I'll take out a friend or my partner if she's, you know, on a period and just dangle her into the water.
Just drop her in there like
the marine life goes wild.
Wow, it's just like a Lipton tea bag, but for sharks, you just dunk them in the water. And then I'm being given the best wind-up, and I understand why. We've gone too far, and I apologise.
Didn't take long.
I certainly hope I didn't offend any women. I was trying to point out how ridiculous this man's opinion is. Tonight, Triple M will be covering the footy of a different nature. It won't be NRL tonight. It'll be the Swans versus the Hawks at the SCG. It is going to be an absolute clash of titans. There's a lot of bad blood, not bad blood necessarily, but a good rivalry, a healthy rivalry for many different reasons between these two teams. It is going to be a great match. And commentating on the game is Triple M's very own former Sydney Swans champion, Jude Bolton, joins us on the line now. Hi, Bolts.
G'day, Miz Jones. How are you, fellas?
Very good, mate. 0-6. The Swans didn't have the best start to a season. In fact, they had one of their worst ever starts to a season. But the last few games, they've turned it around. If they win tonight, it really starts to readdress the balance, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It was a shocking start. Their worst in the best part of 20-odd years. And, they've started to find their mojo a little bit. I think they're getting a few players back from injury, but a bit of confidence as well. They've had a lot of a turnover in terms of their list, but playing a lot better footy, Mez. So it's going to be an interesting game because the Hawks were really good for the opening quarter and a half against the Pies and then got steamrolled.
But mate, the last few years, I think we've been watching the Hawks and the Swans go up against each other. It's for, you know, the top of the table sort of stuff. Now, tonight, it's pretty crucial, though, because you don't want to lose many more going into the next few weeks, do you?
Yeah, absolutely, Jase. I mean, it's been one of those heavyweight clashes, but it feels like, you know, the heavyweights have, passed a little bit and they're still rocking out another fight. But I think... Certainly Hawthorn are in a big transitional phase and, they've still got some senior players that need to be turned over in the next period. But, they made some really strong changes at the end of last season with particularly bringing Tom Mitchell and Jager O'Meara into the fold. And, O'Meara still hasn't come along as well with the injuries that he's had. But Tom Mitchell has just been outstanding form, leading disposal winner in the AFL at the moment, had 50 touches
last
week.
Yeah, unbelievable. And, of course, he is originally from the Swans. Jack Kennedy, of course, originally from Hawthorn. So there is that kind of interchange of players that the Swans have got with Hawthorn. But also... And of course, Buddy as well.
Big Bud's wearing the 67 tonight. So, it's going to be interesting to see. Obviously, it's the Sir Doug Nicholls round tonight. So, yep. It's fantastic.
Celebrating fantastic the Indigenous round. Round. We were talking around the office about some of our favourite Indigenous players and the best Indigenous players that we've seen in AFL. And we were talking around, we're talking about obviously Buddy Franklin is a tremendous player. And then you've got Cyril Rioli for Hawthorn as well. But of course, one of the greatest players, arguably of all time, Adam Goods.
Yeah, he's just, I was lucky enough to play 300 games or so with Goodsy. So, played the majority of a footy out with the great man and, one of the special characters of footy and goes down in folklore now. He's transcended footy in a sense and, certainly one of the greats. He's just been incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great round and it's, the AFL has really integrated sort of Indigenous culture into what it does. When you look at the table, mate, almost halfway through the season, has the competition ever been this even, do you reckon?
Oh, it's been incredible. The fact that some of the top sides have faltered already. I mean, Adelaide looked like they were going to go unbeaten through the season and then got touched up in the last couple of games. And then Geelong have resurged a little bit after winning their first five. So all the top sides have faltered at one stage. It's been as even as I ever remember footy. And certainly you have to be on your game at any particular time because you can get touched up by some of the sides sitting down the bottom.
Mate, I always think a great season is one where it's not polar, where you don't have three or four cellar dwellers and, you have a top four outfit which just pones everybody else. So for football fans, it's a great season.
Well, for me, I was really sceptical about the expansion because I was like, 18 teams, that means pretty early on you're going to miss out on the final. So you don't want to have 10 or 12 weeks where you're like, oh, I'm out of contention. But it's starting to turn around where you're like, hang on, this actually could be a great thing. Anyone is in the running at all stages.
Yeah, it's a bit of the snakes and ladders at the moment. If you drop a game, and it's particularly around the sides that you might be sitting amongst, it can really, send your season backwards. So certainly the Swans have got, every hope of being right up there towards the back end of the season. If they keep winning, they've got to get on a good run. A 0-6 start is something that really puts them in the back. But the percentage suggests that they are, a top eight side. So, they haven't played anyone's notice yet. So, this will be a first one.
I reckon the Swans are going to make a big comeback to the back half of the season. And also, too, tonight, Buddy Franklin, I'm going to tip him to kick 4 goals and he'll put himself into the top 10 goal kickers of all time. Best of luck to Buddy and to the Swans playing Hawthorn tonight. Triple M will broadcast the coverage. Jude, great to speak to you, mate. We'll be in touch again soon.
Cheers, fellas. Have a good one.
Good luck, mate. A couple of big things going on in Sydney. Just a quick update. There is power outages in the inner west of Sydney right now. It's affecting
60,000 homes.
60,000 homes in the inner west. And this is devastating news, Matho, because I live in the inner west.
Yeah.
So I could be affected by this.
Yeah, it's all about you.
Sorry,
all
Leon.
About you, mate.
Leon, my producer's talking. Was it updated? Is my house affected?
No, your house isn't affected. Yeah. They've confirmed.
Your wife's put the Jenny on. So good. She's fired it up.
That's it, George. Smart pull woman. The cord. Pull the cord. Put your back into it.
You know what?
Get the generator
happened.
Fired up.
Vivid starts tonight, 6 o'clock. They've taken all the juice from the inner west.
Oh,
they've got so many bloody lights on in the
again,
CBD.
Again, Clovermore stealing from the rest of us. Why do I have to pay for bloody Vivid?
If you are
just
on the roads,
in the inner west is stealing my juice.
If you are on the roads, though, drive carefully because there's over 100 traffic lights out in the area as well. So.
I've got to drive home in that traffic, mate. I'm going to cross Anzac Bridge. You have no idea how tough it is to drive the almost 6 kilometres home from here. I don't want to talk about it.
I love that. I love it.
When are the people in the inner west finally going to cut a break? I say.
It's all about you, isn't it?
I'm just joking, everybody, because there's a lot of people right now who live in the greater west who's going, I understand. Matho.
Maybe head to Vivid tonight, Give that a go instead.
What's up? Yeah. Who knows? It might
They've
not
got
even
lights
be on. I'd be so angry if my house is dark and Vivid's on and I'll see all the lights in the sky and the clouds.
It really screws up the plans for anyone planning a surprise party for tonight because they can't execute. No, someone will come in with the lights off and they're like,
okay. Surprise! And they go, what? Okay. Candles! Also tonight, Bangtan.
No, stop it.
Bangtan.
Bangtan?
Bangtan.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's right. The Korean pop sensation, a boy outfit band or something. They're South Korea's biggest boy band after Bangtan.
Mm-hmm.
Bang. They, you know,
let's call them BTS. That's what they're known as.
What was the guy?
Simon.
Who did Gangnam
Style.
Yep. Okay. Yep. So these guys are like, they're bigger than him. And they are in Australia at the moment. They're going to be playing at Qdos Bank Arena tonight.
Mm. Is the power outages that far? Are they going to have to...
That's the reason for the power outages.
It's BTS unplugged. I mean, if you're a BTS fan, you've probably seen them play before, but you've never seen them like this.
No. What? Relying on their skill? Jeez, they'll be awful, no doubt.
I love the fact that there is... what is there? There's eight of them. Is that right?
Eight of them?
Yeah, there's eight blokes. Stressed us, you know... Private school boys.
I swear to God, I'm not even being rude. I swear to God, I thought two of them were girls.
No, mate.
Is this their music?
This is a bit of them. Hang on, this is their... Oh! That's their song called Dope.
Dope.
Which has been viewed about over 135 million times on YouTube.
Jesus, really?
Yeah.
Play a bit of that again, Lamb. I like that.
Don't.
Why
would you do that?
I want to hear it.
I'll tell you what we'll do instead of that.
No.
Chinese Happy Fun Time Translation Games.
Oh, yeah. Liam, explain this to Matho.
So the way this works, Matho, is we take...
casual racism.
No.
No. It's a language game. It's,
right.
You know,
it truly is.
So we take... previously, we've taken movie titles, we've taken reality TV shows, all that sort of stuff. We translate it. Mm-hmm. Into Mandarin, or in this case, Korean. Then we translate it back to English. And the beauty of it is that it comes back in very
weird... We could have called it Lost in Translation, right? But it just...
Which I like.
Yeah, you could have called it Lost in Translation, but instead we call it... What do we call it?
Happy Fun Times Translation Game.
Yeah, okay.
See? I'm in.
All right. So don't give us that casual racism crap, mate. It's not even close to it.
So what we've done on this occasion is we've taken famous... music lyrics, lyrics from famous songs. We've translated them into Korean.
Through like Google Translate.
Correct.
And then rammed them back again.
And then we put them back, and this is the result. So here's the first one. You guys have got to tell me what famous song this is a lyric from.
Okay.
Lightning and lightning are very scary.
Queen.
Bohemian
Rhapsody.
I was going to say that, but I'll use my name. You've got to use your name as a buzzer, mate.
But I said Queen before you even said Merrick.
No, I said Merrick, and then I was going to say Queen.
Okay, I'm going to give Matho the points. Moving forward, Matho.
You just say it.
For the sake of
just
the sake of harmony, if you could say your name as your buzzer, that'd be
great.
Well, tell me the rules now, buddy.
No, I'm giving you the point, regardless. Okay, one to James. All right, number two. This is the lyric. She has to ascend on the steps.
Merrick, it's Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven.
Nice. Gee whiz.
And she's buying.
Yeah, I don't need to play it, mate. I don't know.
I think Triple M listeners are familiar with Stairway. Okay. Mate.
Well, they might be familiar with this one as well. 1-1 at the moment. What famous lyric is this? All the meat has a grasping blood organ.
Oh, I don't know.
All the meat has a grasping blood organ. Organ. That is a famous lyric translated into Korean and then translated back into English.
All the meat has a grasping blood organ.
We play it on Triple M.
Oh, mate, I don't know. Naked.
James, Sunday Bloody Sunday? No. Hungry Heart.
Nah, everybody's got a hungry heart. Okay, still 1-1.
Tricky.
Next one.
Dumb.
We lost only every year, and the two animals can swim in the aquarium. I'll give that to you again. We lost only every year, and the two animals can swim in the aquarium. Again, another band we would play on Triple M.
Can you give us a hint?
Man, Korean's not easy, is it? I thought it was difficult to eat. It's difficult to bloody do.
Okay. We're just two lost souls swimming in a fishbowl.
Ever heard of that song?
Year after year. All right, we've got a tiebreaker here. Last one. Here we go.
Tiebreaker? We haven't got anywhere.
Yeah, it's 1-0 at the moment. Okay, final one.
Okay, come on, Matthew.
What famous lyric is this? Translated into Korean, translated back into English. It exudes the corner. I lost my faith.
Oh, man. I don't.
It exudes the corner. I lost my faith.
James, Losing My Religion, R.E.M. That's
me in the Boat Town! That's
me in the spot. Matho? All
right.
Yeah, get out. Get out.
Just call mate, me. Just call me James.
Mate, you're booked till 5 o'clock. What time's that up there?
Kim G. Matheson.
It's 15 seconds to 1 minute.
Just
after
call
five.
Me Jimbo Samsung Matheson.
Take your gorgeous children and get out. Thanks, Matho.
All right, see you, mate.
See you next time. Right now, I've got to talk about the very serious issue of skinny dipping in Sydney. A recent cancellation of a skinny dipping event at Cobblers Beach, which is near Middlehead, attracted 1,400 entrants this year, but it's at risk of being cancelled next year because the $45,000 sponsorship that they needed to run the event was run by juice company Nudie, nice tie in there, has decided not to sponsor the event next year. Now, this money, this event raises money for a charity, and it's in jeopardy now. Now, I know that I knew about this event, and I knew that it was somewhere near Middlehead, but I wasn't.
Oh, so funny.
Okay, let's just.
I just thought of how funny that is.
Knock that on the head now, mate.
So, oh, knock it on the head.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Whereabouts is the event, Middlehead? Isn't it all a little bit Middlehead?
Okay.
I could have sworn, though, that they swam from, and correct me if I'm not wrong now, they swam from Middlehead to Lady Fanny Bay. Is that where they went to?
Lady Jane Beach.
Oh, beg your pardon. That's the nudist beach, is it? Lady Jane Beach, is it?
Yeah,
is that the Lady Jane.
Lady
beach?
Jane Beach is right. is a nude beach down okay. down on the south head.
It's not Lady Fanny Bay.
No, I don't know where that is.
Lady Fanny Bay.
Can you see?
Fanny Bay. Is it? Oh, I must be confused.
You know it's Friday.
I must be confused and not caring. See, interesting though. Here's a question: Where are the nude hotspots in Sydney? I knew that there was somewhere near Watson's Bay that was
That's Lady Jane Beach.
Right, okay. And I don't think I've ever been there.
Don't think you've ever been there?
No, I don't think so. I mean I've been there within proximity of binoculars. I don't mean I've actually been on the beach, okay?
You've just actively discouraged anybody from calling up and telling you where nude hotspots are.
I've been in the back of a high-ace van with a pair of high-vision optics, but I've not been to the beach. They don't let people like me in there.
So the Sydney Skinny, the nude swimming event, has attracted over 1,400 events. Entrants.
Yeah. That's a lot of nudes. Year.
That's a lot of nudes. There must be a lot of nudists around Sydney. Naturists? What are they called?
Naturists are people who like to get nude within the confines of nature. You know, like generally out in the bush and stuff like that. Bush on bush, I think it's sometimes referred to as. Isn't it? Is it called bush on bush?
He's having so much fun.
Loving it. And also, too, I should point out that is actually a race, too. The 1,400 people, the race in that. Very stiff competition, though. In that event sometimes.
Do you need us here, Merrick?
No,
should we just walk out?
I'm literally having the best
good,
moment.
Good to see them all have a crack, though.
Oh.
I'm on board now.
Flotation device. Oh, sorry. No, it's your own personal flotation device.
The water was
fine.
I got told the water this year was a bit nippy, though.
Oh, there we go.
How am I the adult here? I'm the youngest.
Some people got stuck in the entrance.
You done?
There was an actual breaststroke race.
The only reason I'm not getting involved is I can't think of any right now. You're going to text from me at about 9 o'clock tonight with something about this.
Yeah, I will too. And I'll still laugh and find it funny. Okay, let's try to be adults. No, let's not. Sydney, where are the nude hotspots? And if you go to them, what are you doing there? Because we know that, Lady Jane Bay?
Yep.
Lady Jane Beach.
Lady Jane Beach.
It's a well-known nudist beach. But is there other areas in Sydney, genuinely?
Are there, like,
parks?
Communes
or
colonies?
Yeah, colonies. Colonies?
Maybe not colonies.
I don't think they go there to breed them. Well, then again, depends on our nature.
You
taste.
Trip over something, you might end up doing it.
Exactly. I think they do. Nudists do love to get around wood, though. So,
okay. This is not call up and tell us your nude joke. This is.
I want to hear. Oh, let's do that. I'm so in the nude for that right now.
Do you want to do nude puns? Do you?
I don't care you want me to? Just call us. Just talk. I really don't care. I'm just not worried. 1-3-3-5-3. Anything to do with nudity? Sydney's hottest nude spots. What are you doing nude? Oh, I love you, Sydney. You are so funny. Because I literally had the biggest dickhead call out of all time. I didn't even make sense when I asked you to ring, and my producers, you should see their tiny faces.
You said the phone number and nude, and that's...
And I said, I don't care. I don't care what you're calling about. And there is literally a full board of calls.
I'm going to sit in here to be the mature one for this.
Get out. You're on your own, mate.
You're on your own. Go on, be an island. Let's just get to some nude talk. This is off the back of the fact that a skinny dip has been cancelled as a result of poor funding. I nearly made a joke then and I went, no, that's going too far, Mez. Pull that back. On. Let's get to Daz. Hello, Daz.
Hey, Mez, how you going?
Very good, mate. We're just talking nudity on any level. I don't really mind. What do you reckon?
Loving it, mate. First time, real long time on this station, eh?
Oh, well, great to have you on, Daz. It's made my day.
Mate, real quick, you did hear about the bloke who went to the nudist colony. The first day was his hardest.
Okay.
Oh, yes!
No. I want to hear...
It's good.
No.
It's good, yes. Daz.
I don't want to hear stories. I don't want to hear real stories.
No, I want to hear stories.
I want to hear people
jokes.
Be idiots like me. I don't care. I don't care what people want to talk about. Let's find out. Hello, Amanda.
I want to
hear... Amanda!
Oh, hello.
How are
hello.
You, Amanda?
I'm well.
Have you been... Tell me... I don't know what you're ringing for. I've got no idea because I wasn't clear.
There's a really gorgeous one. It's called Cobblers and it's in Mossman. Just past the army barracks up the top there, and my husband's going to kill me for letting this out because it's quite a private, nice beach, and it's got a beautiful sort of bush area as well.
Yep. And hang on. But can I ask you? What...
That was good, Amanda.
What about the beach, though?
No, that's good too. That's good too. But if you want privacy, if you want a little bit of privacy with your hubby or your partner,
okay,
you go up the top of the bushes and. Yeah, no.
Is there ferns there? Do you sometimes fernicate when you're up there?
No, don't.
Right, okay, that was another dirty one. Okay, Wendy. Hello, Wendy.
G'day, fellas. How you going?
Really good. I'm having a terrific time. Literally one of the best times I've had in my life. Wendy.
Oh, that's good.
We're talking about...
The race has been cancelled. I'm just wondering in previous years, do they have any cock-ups with the staff?
Okay. Yes. Okay. That's good.
Everybody's acting like a child.
Except for me.
You're being such a ball ache.
Oh, he is. Okay. Justin, on the Central Coast. Hello, mate.
How are you?
Are you a nudist? Do you like to get nude? Are you part of the swim? Do you a part of this conversation?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I don't know much about Sydney. I know Central Coast and Newcastle, though.
Yeah? And there are nude beaches there?
There's on the north end of the Central Coast, there's a place called Birdie Beach. It's actually a designated nudist beach.
Mm-hmm.
Up near Toronto, there's actually a nudist club.
Ooh, okay.
Up near Samurai Beach, up Nelson's Bayway.
Yep.
There's not only nude bathing on the beach.
Samurai Beach is a nude beach. I believe there's a lot of swords there, isn't there, Justin?
Okay. Do you know the best part about being a nudist is, though?
Tell me.
You can carry 2 cups of coffee and 10 donuts.
No.
Oh, that was great.
I told you.
We got one more.
I told you. Okay, Anthony in Yarrawarra. Hello, mate.
Oh, good day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good. We're talking about nudity and acting like total children. Well, I am, and I'm enjoying it.
I know, you're doing a good job. Yeah, no, I was actually saying, you know, Watson's Bay, you were talking about Watson's Bay earlier. It's actually known for their cockatoos. So.
There we go.
Have you had enough, Merrick?
Yeah, all right, okay. We'll get to some footy or something like that.
It's not cocksport, Rob.
I don't know. We've got a little bit of an update on the power outages here in Sydney, affecting mainly the inner west. Liam, the details are?
Sydney's inner west, yeah. Ashbury, Ashfield, 60,000 homes without power at this stage. 100-odd traffic lights also are out. So if you are out on the roads in the Sydney inner west area, be very, very careful. And Merrick, your house is still okay.
Okay. Well, if my house is out of power... I'd know. I would have got a text message from my Georgie, from my missus, Georgie, who would have said, where are the candles? We would have been in trouble there. So we'll be all right. That's interesting. Do we know whether or not the power, the lights are out on the Hume?
Not sure about the Hume.
Because it's a good time to avoid that anytime. But if the lights are out now, you've got massive detours to get around that.
But if you are planning on taking the M5 east between Bexley Northern Mascot, don't bother because it's closed both ways.
Oh.
So it's Sydney traffic on a Friday, basically.
What do we think about the theory that this is all connected to Vivid, which they turn the lights on at 6 p.m. tonight in Sydney, in the city?
Yep. So if anybody doesn't know what Vivid is, it's a big lighting festival. Basically, what happens is...
It's an epileptic's worst nightmare.
It is. Spotlight on Mardi Gras is what it is.
It's
the opposite
to Earth Hour, but it goes for a month.
Beacon lighting on Mardi Gras. Yeah. Spotlight, I think it makes material. Whatever. What did you say? Sorry, Leon, what was that?
Do you reckon it's connected? They turn on all the lights at 6 p.m. tonight for Vivid.
How would that affect the Inner West? I would say it's probably not connected, but let's say it's connected and let's deliberately point the blame where it belongs. Clover Mall has lit up the city at the expense of the people in the Inner West who are just trying to get by and people who are trying to get home to Western Sydney. What, Western Sydney hasn't copped enough in the neck this year?
But a lot of people right now are gathering at the harbour down at Circular Quay.
Yep.
Because they do a countdown to 6 p.m. They flick on the switch and all the lights come on.
Oh, wow.
What if the power is affected? Has anyone tested it yet?
I don't know.
Could be a massive anticlimax.
Oh, God, no. There'll be a backup generator for sure or something. They'll have some.
I don't know if a backup Jenny's going to cop it for Vivid.
You know what they'll do? Clover Mall will kick Lucas Heights in the nuts, will get a bit of juice coming through, and they will light it up. I guarantee the rest of Sydney will be blacked out before Vivid does not go on. So if you're going to Vivid, great time to enjoy some overpriced parking in the city. Yeah. So enjoy that.
Take your pick.
I'm just bagging it out now.
Merrick Watts, Vivid Festival Ambassador.
My wife loves it. I'll end up going.
She loves it.
She makes me go. And it's good because it's good for families. It's great for families, but, you know, kids and stuff, because they get along. It's free. They can enjoy it. It does showcase our city. The Opera House looks amazing when it's got lights and stuff on it. They do really great.
Someone's backtracking pretty quickly.
No, it is. It's a good event. I don't want to sound like a Grinch, but I also do want to blame somebody, and it's Clovermore.
Yeah,
Think about those people in the Inner West. I could have been one of them. I'm just right on the outskirts there, and my home could have been affected. No one in Sydney wants my home to be affected. The other people, I'm just being a dickhead.
Yeah, go to a song.
Footy soon. Of course, the Dead Set Legends will be kicking off in about 20 minutes' time with Dan Ganane, Ryan Girdler, and Paul Gallen. You're right with your chair there, Gerds?
Oh, the chair's okay, mate, but I'm just trying to find some headphones.
Oh, okay. Sorry, mate. We probably should
It's all good. It's a well-organized show. It's a well-oiled machine, this one.
Yeah, you know what it's
Says
like,
the
mate.
Bloke who's clearly got a strepsil in his mouth.
Yeah. I got a sore throat, boys. I apologise. But yeah, got a big weekend coming up. And the kids brought the flu home from school yesterday, so it's going around the house. So stay away.
You get a little bit of lurgy.
Nothing major, but a little one.
You know what's good, mate, is you get a bit of that Betadine throat gargle. That stuff, mate. If you've got a little bit of a tingle in your throat,
yeah.
Betadine throat gargle, that stuff just kills it. That's good. And then a bit of Manuka honey.
Yeah.
That stuff, you get that from the chemist, the Manuka stuff.
Yep.
You put that, it's like a throat coat. I put Dan Ganane onto that for calling footy. It's really, really good.
Because it's funny, he gave me just the same advice out there and didn't tell me you told him.
Son of a
there
bitch.
You go.
If anyone's
there
got a home remedy they want to share with Ryan Girdler, feel free, 1-3-3-5-3, give us a call.
Damn right. Yeah. Mate, let's talk about the game tonight. Rabbitohs versus Eels, 7:50 p.m. late game tonight, you boys will be calling. This is going to be an interesting game. The Bunnies, I thought, on Sunday, did okay against a pretty formidable force in the Melbourne Storm. I think it was 6-14.
Yeah, 14-6. And you actually tipped us up last week, Mish. You said you spent a bit of time with the boys and I thought that might have got them home. But they did have a good record over there. They played pretty well. They controlled the football. They did everything you need to do against Melbourne. They're just struggling at the moment to score points, South Sydney. They've really struggled the last probably 5 or 6 weeks. So that was an issue again. Melbourne Storm, one of the best defensive sides in the comp. But the interesting thing about tonight's game is obviously with Origin around the corner, and you know, all the players rested that are involved. Neither of these teams have any players that are sitting on the sideline due to origin duty. So that's a bit of a weird one.
Yeah, I mean, they probably would have thought, you know, Robbie Farrell was a chance at some stage. But, you know, he's obviously, tonight, he's going to put in a second audition for Laurie Daly. he's actually going to wear a hat saying...
Well, the first audition, Mez, was against the Tigers.
Yeah.
So that was that was a full dress rehearsal. But, I think it'll be a tough night out tonight for the Bunnies. They haven't got a good record. It's a 5-day turnaround, obviously.
That was going to be my question, guys, is that it's a short turnaround from Sunday to Friday. But on top of that, too, they've had to fly back from Perth. Yep. Now, they're not used to flying that kind of distance and that time, and that's a completely different ground. They're not used to a different track. There's a lot of factors in there. Will that have an effect tonight playing against the Eels?
Yeah, plus the record, Maz. I mean, every time they seem to like playing in Perth, but I think the ensuing week, they've played 11 games because they've done it for 11 seasons and they've won two of those.
Yeah.
So their record's not good psychologically. So they're not handling the turnaround. They probably try different techniques every year, but they haven't been able to come up with the right one. And with that 5-day turnaround, it's a big ask, especially with Parramatta. I mean, they were pretty good last week against the Raiders. Mm. They've got no players out, as we spoke about, with Origin. And they're desperate to win as well. So it's going to be a tough night for both clubs. But I just think the Eels will get it tonight.
Mentioned former Tiger Robbie Farrar. Another former Tiger will be on the pitch tonight as well. Mitchell Moses, a bit of pressure.
Well, look, he settled in last week. They were pretty good, considering they had a few injuries. Obviously, some key playmakers out at the moment for the Eels, but Mitchell slotted in pretty well against Canberra. They missed 45 tackles against the Raiders, and they got done sort of similar to South Sydney. Could have won the game, but just got done in the last sort of 15 or 20 minutes. They can do that, the Raiders. You go with them for a while, but in the end, they just get you with their size and strength. And they did that to Parramatta, but Mitchell... he was okay last week. I think he'll be looking to improve on that performance, build combinations, and he'll get better as the weeks move on.
Because I suppose when a player changes clubs mid-season, you know, you're talking about you're still the player that you are, and you might even change, you know, play in the same position, you might change position, but you have got to learn to adapt to different structures, don't you? How long does it take for a player to kind of form up those relationships and not even that, just form up part of that game plan?
They play a pretty simple formula, Parramatta. I mean, they play, you know, with guys like Corey Norman and Gutherson, who like to have the footy in their hands. They don't play a real structured type of game where they're always setting up for the next play. And look, I think that'll work for Mitchell. He likes to get the ball in his hands early, likes to look up and play what he sees, likes to play on the back of some momentum. So it's crucial that his forwards give him that. He didn't get a lot of opportunity at the Tigers because of their pack and the lack of their go forward over the last couple of seasons. But you get him behind a really good pack that goes forward, and he can be a really dangerous player. And I think he'll keep it simple. He'll look to build on the combinations with French. Obviously, that's a key one. Gutherson and also Pritchard at hooker. And I think, as I said, he'll get better as the year goes on, but he'll keep it pretty simple tonight.
So you reckon Eels?
Yeah, I like the Eels tonight. Right. I just think they'll get the job done.
Well, you guys will be calling the game at 7:50 p.m. tonight. You'll be with Dan, and Gal is going to be in as well.
Yep.
So we'll listen in. I think it's kind of strange. You missed the 6 o'clock game already.
Yeah.
It's good. Like, it's really settled into a good pattern, hasn't it?
Yeah, like everyone I speak to, they love, you know, the fact that they're usually on their way home from work, they're stuck in traffic, and they can listen to the footy. So, yeah, for us, I think it's worked well. Not sure, you know, in relation to the NRL and the crowds, but it's certainly working well for us.
Well, Dead Set Legends will be kicking off in about 15 minutes time, and then a game, of course, at 7:50, Rabbitohs versus Eels here on Triple M. Good on you. Thanks, Gertz.
Thank you, boys.
Thank you very much for tuning in this weekend today. I know I've been a little bit weird. I'm going to go home and have a big think about some of the things I've said on the show today. And I'm sure my boss is doing the same. But as we like to finish the show on Friday, every Friday, we do Battle of the Burbs. We look back at the week and we see which suburb takes out Caller of the Week. Thank you, Sydney.
Big week in Sydney. And as usual, it's time to call a meeting at the Merrickville Council Chambers to vote on which suburb gave us the best call this week. With house prices perpetually going up, kids are staying at home longer and longer. John from Manly's mate seems to have found the best deal.
Still lives at home, my mum and dad, 32. But on top of that, when we rip on him for it, he goes, oh, I don't care, I own my own apartment.
What?
What?
So he owns an apartment because obviously he's never had to pay rent living at home.
Yeah.
So he's able to save up a whole lot of money and then buy an investment property but still live at home.
Good on him, though. It's awesome. Except for the fact he never, ever has sexual relations with women. That's all right.
It is kind of weird when they come out of the room in the morning and mum has to make him a cup of tea.
Would you like an Earl Grey or would you like something a little bit stronger?
Yeah.
And how was my son?
Speaking of housing, sometimes where you live can come with great perks, like France in Summer Hill.
I was living in New York for 6 years. When it would snow, I had this bodega downstairs, like a convenience store. I had a secret entrance at the back just for residents of the of our unit block. You could pop downstairs, not even have to go outside to get changed, just pop down in PJs. And use the secret back entrance and grab yourself a sandwich, whatever you like, and then just pop upstairs again.
This week, we saw a sea lion pull a little girl into the water at an aquarium. Merrick loved it.
Yes!
Yes!
Oh, my God!
Oh, my God! That's the most amazing thing it took a time.
And we wanted to hear your crap animal attacks.
Sitting there one morning with the cat on the lap, turned on the hairdryer, still got the scar on my chest after the cat went burko.
I live in Canberra on my way to primary school. A kangaroo jumped over the fence and knocked me off my bike.
Oh. I was about 12 years old. I was at a petting zoo and a Shetland pony bit me on my boob.
Oh!
But after hours of deliberation in the council chambers and the votes being counted, the winning suburb for this week is Bill from Parts Unknown. And you'll understand why when he talks about his dad's secret stash.
Mate, I found it in a normal spot under the bed, but I found his photo album. There's my mother.
No, Bill.
Your dad's filth had turned out to be also to your mum's filth.
My dad's a Mormon as well, which makes it really weird.
Oh, well, you know what they're like, Bill. Oh, sorry, hang on, you're one of them. Sorry.
No, I quit. I like to smoke and drink.
On you, Bill. Those scars are never going away.
Thank you for visiting Merrickville. If you missed anything during your stay, subscribe to the Merrickville podcast on iTunes or with your favourite Android app. 104.9 Triple M.